Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Let me ask you a question. Are you unemployed right now? Or do you know someone else who is unemployed? Well, I think we can pretty much safely say we all know someone who's unemployed at this with this economy. Have you ever wanted to know how to avoid hitting the brick wall when looking for work? Can you imagine struggling to find work every day of your life? How frustrating. Tell me, do you know what the key mistakes are that job seekers make? When was the last time you heard about someone who can help you find work? Someone who can help you get a job? Or better yet, would you like to meet that someone who has some of the answers we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to find a job? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest, who is a success coach extraordinaire. He will provide us with wonderful, informative, inspirational lessons and some really, really great practical advice. Before I introduce him, I'd love to invite you to call in during the show. The call-in number is 818-431-8506 with any questions. I'm pleased to announce that our show today is featured on the front page at blogtalkradio.com. And I am honored to be a featured host. We now have over 1 million wonderful listeners. Also, LinkedIn has announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed there and viewed during 2012. So thank you to all of you who went to view my profile. Now let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. He has over 25 years of extensive experience in the business world. That includes roles such as Vice President at Blockbuster, VP Treasurer at Hotels.com and Expedia, Senior Vice President Finance at Manatech. His responsibilities have included finance, treasury, investor relations, public relations, and human resources. Having conducted a job search 3 times in his own personal career, he discovered the real keys to landing your next job. My guest presents a job search represents a job search networking groups all over Dallas. Attendees find his presentations unique, effective, because they go far beyond your resume, profile, and elevator speech. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show today Gary Spinnell. Hi, Gary. How are you today?
I'm great. Hi, January. How you doing? And thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, it's wonderful. I've been looking forward to this because, you know, so many people are looking for work. And it's so wonderful that you have been able to share your experience When was the first time you started a big job search? When you came out of college, or tell us about that?
Well, certainly everybody does that coming out of college, but that was a long, long time ago, and I'm not going to go that far back. But you know, in the mid late 90s, I did a job search, and I was terrible at it. I was petrified. You know, it's certainly a hit to your self-esteem. I had worked at a company for 11 years, and the company had deteriorated, and you know, you're out there doing a search, and actually it was right on the fringe of the internet coming into life, you know, in the late 90s, so yeah, it really wasn't like it is today, and you're even mailing out letters.
Yeah.
And I tell people, I said, if Google was there and you Googled the worst job seeker, my picture would be there. I was terrible. I was petrified at the whole thing, and it took me 2 years to land a job. Well, briefly, I had also been doing a lot of research into human behavior, and I know it's kind of weird. Here's a finance guy doing research into human behavior, but the analytical part of me was like going, wait a minute, how does this work? How does this work? How do successful people succeed? And, you know, we're always kind of two steps forward, one back. So I had been really studying that for so many years, and finally it clicked, and I took what I learned from human behavior and psychology and rolled that into the job search tactics. And the next time I was unemployed, because I came out of Blockbuster, and we know that Blockbuster is, you know, going down and down and down, and I left there. But from there, I landed a job in 3 months. And then after I left Hotels and Expedia, I landed the job in 6 months, and that was a promotion and like 50% increase in pay.
Wonderful.
It's certainly a challenging market today, but there were these things that I learned that were different than what we're taught about just your resume and today a LinkedIn profile and an elevator speech.
Yeah.
And so as I began, I started sharing these all over Dallas, and they're going, you need to talk about this more. And so actually I put a whole program together on it.
I see. Okay. Going from waiting 2 years to get a job to getting a job in 6 months is quite an improvement.
Yeah.
And you talk about job seekers hit the figurative brick wall in their job search. And how does that happen, and why does that happen, and what can they do to get over the brick wall?
Yeah, because it's the brick wall I hit. And it's, you know, I think today you see it even more because everybody has a really good resume. Everybody has a good elevator speech. Everybody has the great profile on LinkedIn. I mean, there's LinkedIn seminars everywhere.
Yeah.
And you can learn how to answer every one of 100 questions, and you know, somewhere on the internet. So everybody's doing that. And so now you have the challenge of how do you break through and not only be noticed but be remembered is my thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the tactics only get you so far. And so that's why you hit the brick wall. And what I learned, as I said, it's about human behavior and understanding that. And, for example, when we had a job, you were always in control. You managed when you were going to work on a project or a task or how long you were taking to complete it. You would talk to your boss and recommend ideas, et cetera. Your subordinates would come to you. You can control the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
When you're unemployed, you have no control.
No.
You can't, you know, and that's the frustrating part, is you can't force anybody to hire you. There's some people you want to strangle, but you can't force anybody. And it makes us do funky things.
Yeah.
You interview with somebody, and we all know, okay, you want to send them a thank you email, and it's like, okay, well, when should I send it? What time? Should I do it in the morning? Should I 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock? Should I wait till, you know, 5 o'clock? Should I, you know, what should I say? What if I call them? Should I call them? No, well, wait, what if I get their answering machine? We go through all this, and we're going, oh, my gosh. And those are the types of things because it's our own human behavior, and so what we end up thinking about things and the way we perceive the whole process influences really our actions. And when we step back and go, why would that doesn't even make sense that I would be doing something like that? And we can, you know, we'll go into a few more of those. But it's once I understood the human behavior side, then it started to click about how to connect with somebody and go right through and land that job.
I guess it's really, you know, it's critical. I always talk to people about writing books because that's what I started out doing, and it's so critical. You know, I always say have a great book cover, have a great title, and these are the things people remember. It's like your calling card. And so it's really important that you be remembered, isn't it?
Oh, that's critical. That's the one thing that I feel that I talk about that most other people don't, because everybody's like, well, I got to get noticed. I just got to get the interview. And most people spend so much time getting the interview and then getting the interview and fail miserably.
Yeah.
And my whole focus, not whole focus, but a very different perspective in my approach versus so many others is that I say, no, you know what? It's about being remembered. Because, see, again, here comes human behavior and psychology. You're interviewing me. Well, you're probably going to interview 9 other people just like me. And, again, we all have these great backgrounds. We all have the bullet points of accomplishments on our resume. Yeah. And after a while, they all look alike, don't they? It doesn't matter, you know, male or female. They're all going to look alike. And as we know, a lot of job searches, well, I don't mean the search, but the interview process can actually take months because of, you know, the people that are doing the hiring get busy and they go off to a seminar or they got meetings or whatever. And then Christian, you have to meet other people and get on their schedules. And all this takes a lot of time. Well, after you've interviewed, the most important thing you want is to be remembered. And so we don't really think about how do we be remembered in the process, because we get into the interview and we're so busy talking, which is one of the big mistakes we make. That we don't think about how to be remembered.
Gary, speaking of talking too much, right now I'm going to take a little break and we're going to hear about our host. And when we come back, I want to share your website information and a wonderful offer that you're making to our listeners. We'll be right back with Gary Spinell.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back with my guest, Gary Spinell, and we're talking about job seeking and how to find a job. Gary, could you share your website information and tell my listeners about your special offer?
Oh, yes, I would love to. Thank you very much. The website bears my name, so it's Gary Spinell, G-A-R-Y, but Spinell sometimes gets spelled wrong, so it's S-P-I-N-E-L-L. I always tell people one N, two L's, but just GarySpinell.com, GarySpinell.com, and I actually have 2 books that I've published. Not quite as popular as yours, January, and you got a great book. But my two books are on Amazon. But this job search program is under a category called 40 Keys, and there's an extensive amount of information on there. And if you, when you go to purchase, you put in a code networking, which seems so appropriate, then there's a 20% discount just for your listeners.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, and
I will tell you, it's very, very reasonably priced. You know, a lot of people are spending hundreds and thousands of dollars for things related to their resume and job search and all that. And I'm going, look, I've been there. People don't have a lot of money. This comes with a 3-hour audio. So whether you want to listen to it or you want to read it, you have both options. And I believe it's extremely affordable for job seekers today as they're trying to conserve their pennies.
Absolutely, and they all are. Now, so tell me, Gary, what are the key mistakes that job seekers make?
One of the biggest that I've found is what I call a straddle.
Okay.
And think of somebody being on the fence. You know, and you're never really deciding which side of the fence to jump down on.
Okay.
We have a tendency to do that. Here's one of those things where logic and human behavior and psychology cross paths and intertwine. Mm-hmm. What we think is the actually it's more of an emotional thing to say when we get unemployed, we go, well, you know what, I'm going to keep all my options open. That's the recipe for disaster. And when I tell people that, they're going, oh, no, I got to be ready for everything. And I'm going, no, you're going to be ready for nothing. Because if you were, you know, I was a finance guy, and if, let's say, I start to look for a job, and I think, well, you know what, I could go work in operations. You know, I work with those people all the time. I'm doing metrics and analysis on all of their stores or distribution. I could easily run that function. I could go work there. So I start spending some of my time looking at jobs online and talking to people related to operations. But then I see this job pop up for a finance position and go, well, you know what, maybe I'll do that too, you know, because I know I can do that. I got years of experience. And so I start spending some of my time there. And sometimes there's even a third or fourth option. People go, well, you know what, I might go into business for myself, or, no, you know what, I think I might want to be a teacher. And it to me, it's like having 15 gallons of gas in your car, and you use 3 gallons of gas to go in one direction and, you know, 3 gallons of gas to go in another direction and 3 in another. And at the end of the day, you only got as far as 3 gallons took you. Mm-hmm. But if you used all 15 gallons of gas going in one direction, you get there 5 times as fast.
Okay.
And the key, the subtle part of this is there's really only one direction you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I was really, and then my example, I really just want to now go off into operations and I don't want to do finance anymore, I'm going to tell myself, yeah, but that's okay. I'll go interview on that finance job. I'm basically going to fake it is what's going to happen because my passion isn't there. And it's going to become noticed in my handshake, in my email, in my smile, in the interview. The hiring manager is going to pick up on it. I know so many people that straddle that it's amazing. And now when they see me, they go, yeah, Gary, I know I'm straddling. And because they're still sitting there a year later going, you know what, yeah, you're right. I had one guy tell me, he said, no, I want to go build my own company. I started it. I'm making some money. And he says, but, you know, I've got this marketing background, and I went on this marketing interview, and I got down to the last two people and interviewed with the CEO. And the CEO said, well, are you going to, you know, you come on board with us, or are you going to put that business aside and probably fold it? And he kind of stuttered and stopped. And I said, dude, you sabotaged the interview.
Yeah,
it was like I didn't ever think of that. I said, yeah, because you didn't want to do that because you told me that you wanted to run your own business.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the types of things we do, and that's what I'm talking about. And I know it sounds so subtle, but it's everything in the process.
Yeah.
You know, another example is we – go ahead.
I was just going to say we talk about that a lot on this show because this show is based on helping people be successful. And we talk about finding your passion. And if you can somehow translate your passion into employment, it's a win-win-win because you love what you're doing, and guess what? It doesn't seem like work.
Oh, well, and exactly. And you know, and I've written blog posts on that and said, hey, look, I know when you're unemployed, people say, oh, follow your passion. Well, I'm not talking about, you know, going to save the whales or something like that. This is simply say, hey, you know, if you know in your gut this is really what you want to do in a tweak in your career path, then follow that. Go find people that can help mentor you in that process and lead you. I mean, yeah, there's groups to get in on LinkedIn and you can meet people. There's local networking groups and seek out all those types of people and that sort of thing. So you can make that transition. Understand, yes, if you want to make a massive transition, it's going to take you a while.
Uh-huh.
You have to prepare and persevere and those types of things.
Sure.
So,
now, what about
the
LinkedIn profile? You say that's important, but not the most important aspect of your job search.
Yeah, and it's because I think today we are so fond of technology that, you know, now I'm hearing that you can apply online with your cell phone, you know, with an app on your phone, and that's what people want. And it makes us think that speed is better. Speed is faster, but it's not necessarily more efficient. If anything, in some ways, it's made the process worse because everybody's doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, yes, have a profile, have your resume,
right.
but networking is really still the fundamental process of a job search because ultimately you're going to get face-to-face with the hiring manager. And understanding those interpersonal skills is still that human behavior. One of the examples I use is that and I wrote a post about this as well. As I said, the hiring manager is like Google looking for keywords from you during your interview.
Right.
Because
I love
that's
that.
You know, because that's what they're doing. I explain to people, even when I go speak, I said, okay, now the average attention span of somebody is 20 minutes. And I said, I've already spoken 20 minutes, and I need to go another 25 minutes, so I'm in trouble because I got to keep your attention span. And, you know, and they laugh because we all know that, because what do? We start, okay, well, what am I doing for lunch, and I need to call January at 3 o'clock. And I said, guess what? The hiring manager probably is doing that because it's human nature.
Right.
So what will happen is you start giving your five-minute answer to a question.
Oh.
I guarantee the hiring manager is not listening to every word until you say that one word.
He wants to hear.
And then the person perks up. And they go, wait, you told me that you brought a project in on time. Tell me more about that. And see, then you get the follow-up question. But you're trying, but you don't know what the key words are. You don't know what the Google, the hiring manager's Google's keywords are.
Well,
and
you know,
so that's
Gary,
why I tell people.
I'm going to give you a key word right now, and it's called commercial.
That's a key word. We
Here
need
comes
those
my commercial, and we'll be right back with Gary Spinell.
Are you a fitness professional, a trainer, or a coach? Would you like consistent and timely updates on your team's performance? We have a completely customizable app that can give you real-time information via the internet or your handheld phone. Track the performance of your client's progress with their physical fitness regimen. Track team members' performance or schedule a workout session. Meet up at the gym, on the bike trail, or wherever your physical activities take you. The app is called Socially Fit, or SoFit, and can be found on the iTunes Store. Look for the blue Socially Fit icon. When combined with data analysis capabilities, you not only feel the effects of your fitness routine, you also see the graphical progress of your results. The app makes the complex simple, so that more of your time is spent sculpting your physique, with less time tracking your results with old-fashioned pen and paper. Download it today to begin a new year with data to show your progress in meeting your goals. Are you socially fit?
I sure hope so, and I'm going to become socially fit this year. Welcome back with Gary Spinell, and we've been talking about job searching. Gary, let's talk now about what often causes job seekers to struggle, and this thing about everyone has a target list of companies, yet you advise against that.
Oh, yeah. I'm like the only one that says throw out your target list.
Uh-huh.
And it's so funny because I'll walk into these job search networking groups,
uh-huh,
and the instructors will say, now, okay, now you need to have a target list, and they're teaching that, and I get up there and go, you know, a target list, throw it out. And everybody looks at me like, are you crazy? And so then again, I go back and explain, and they go, oh, yeah. This has happened in a lot of places. And, I mean, I've talked to some very high-level people and, you know,
mm-hmm,
all around. Well, here's the concept real briefly.
Yeah.
It goes back to, in a way, you say, well, I'm going to keep all my options open. Well, look, once you have what your career path is going to be, if I go back to my example and I say, hey, I'm going to go into operations,
uh-huh,
well, I don't need to look at make a short list of companies that I want to work at. Yes, it's very nice to work. You say, well, I want to work at this company because they have a great culture and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. I mean, I live in a city where there's probably 1,000 companies that I could go to work at. And years ago, I made that list because I have a big retail background. And I came up with a list of 10 companies.
Uh-huh.
And I said, why would I target 10 companies out of 1,000? It doesn't make sense. So that's what I actually broadened. And I went from retail to e-commerce to multi-level marketing where they manufacture a product.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's pretty, you know, radical change. I mean, I didn't go all the way into oil and gas or, you know, banking, but
mm-hmm,
I shifted. And there was companies I really wouldn't have had on my radar if I had stayed in this one section, because companies get bought and sold all the time.
Yeah.
I was at a job search meeting and just listening in, and this one person said, oh, well, you know what, I have the list of these four companies, and these are the best companies culture-wise to work at in the city. And I went, why? Is that it? You're going to look at four companies, and you're going to just wait around until they have an opening?
Uh-huh.
My wife worked at a great company here, Perot Systems. I mean, and Ross Perot is, you know, fairly well-known from years ago, and he has treated his employees wonderfully. She had left on her own. Well, they got bought out by Dell. It's a totally different culture now. And
yeah.
So you can't bet on that. Companies, like I said, I worked at Blockbuster. They almost really went out of business. There's other companies. You don't know what's going to happen, and you don't know where the jobs are going to come from. Both of my positions, the jobs that I landed at Hotels.com and Expedia, because they merged, and
mm-hmm.
the other company, were brand new positions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's my point is, yes, be very specific on career path, but then open it up to where the job can come from, and that's why I say tear up your target list. You don't need one.
Yeah.
I'm pretty considered radical when it comes to this, but I tell people that, and they go, that makes total sense.
Uh-huh. And you're basically saying that networking comes before. I mean, obviously you have to have a resume and you have to do all the things that you do, but networking is where you're going to get your foot in the door. Don't you agree?
Oh, totally agree. And people sometimes shy away from networking because it takes time and you're building relationships.
Yeah.
And it is. Yeah, it does take time. And it's very easy to sit at a computer to submit a resume. I tell people, I said, you know why we submit resumes online? It makes us feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're looking for a job, you know, we definitely have a hit to our self-esteem. And anything that kind of helps make us feel good, you do feel good about. The problem is you submit a whole bunch of resumes and you never hear back, which is the number one complaint from job seekers. And I said, okay, you do something and you don't feel very good, you know, afterwards because they don't ever respond back to you. And I said, well, then you go do that more. And why would you go? And
why would you?
Am I, it hurts. I'm going to hit my finger with this hammer
and
I'm going to do it again.
Well, you know, Gary, it's almost time for us to go, but I do want my listeners to definitely, if you're looking for a job, go to Gary's website, Gary Spinell, S-P-I-N-E-L-L, and use the code networking, and he has some information that will get you on your way and get you going. Thank you, Gary, so much for coming on the show today. I love talking to you, and I hope you will come back again soon.
Oh, I would love to be. Anytime, January, you let me know. And I also do job search consulting, too, as well. So if anybody wants that, there's that available online on the website as well. Thanks
Terrific.
So much for having me on, and you have a wonderful day.
It's really been fun. We hope our listeners have enjoyed our show today as much as I have. Be sure to catch any of our interviews with these amazing guests with constant streaming at blogtalkradio.com 24/7. My upcoming guests for the rest of this week are amazing. They will amuse, astonish you. They are eclectic, energizing, exciting. You know, this is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful too. If you've enjoyed this show, please follow the click tab under my picture and become a regular listener by registering with blogtalkradio.com/January Jones. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful no whining world. We love sharing our stories and secrets for success. It's our hope we can encourage all of our listeners to emulate our guests today and every day. Now, I want all of you to remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. And now for my chocolate quote of day, remember, chocolate is the breakfast of champions. And you thought it was Wheaties. So for now, stop whining, start smiling, start sharing our success show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest today, Gary Spinell. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.